We've been looking at the heart of David. This will be the seventh message. We're in the epoch of his life, of the time in the wilderness, his rejection, his outlaw time in the wilderness. What we want to talk about today is Abigail. I want to talk about how David was touched by Abigail, how Abigail ministered to David. Sir, you have a wife, I have a wife, and we've got to learn that they're to minister to us. And Abigail is going to come to David and minister to David and keep David from committing a folly. And I just don't know how many times my wife has helped me from making a folly. So this is kind of the thrust that we want to look at. The heart of David is a heart that can receive from Abigail. Now, we're going to also eject this into a present truth realm where we can look at this thing and we'll see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Abigail ministry. This is an Abigail church. This is a church that's been called out from Nabal. You'll see that. This is a church that's out from the ways of the world and the systems of the world. This is a different kind of a church, and it's a different kind of a ministry, and this is the kind of a church that we've got. So as we read now, I'm not going to read this whole chapter, but I'm going to read a goodly part of it, just so that we'll all know what 1 Samuel chapter 25 is dealing with, beginning at verse 2. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail, and the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite. But David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young man, "Go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say, have a long life, peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. And now I have heard that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please give whatever you find at hand to your servants and to your son David." Then David's young men came. They spoke to Nabal according to these words in David's name. Then they waited. But Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men whose origin I do not know?" So David's young men retraced their way and went back, and they came and told him according to all these words. And David said to his men, "Each of you, gird up on his sword." So each man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went up behind David, while 200 stayed with the baggage. Go to verse 18. Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread and 2 jugs of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 measures of roasted grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her young men, "Go on before me. Behold, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And it came about as she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden part of the mountain, that behold, David and his men were coming down toward her. So she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he has returned me evil for good. May God do so to the enemies of David and more also, if by morning I leave as much as one male of any who belong to him." Then Abigail saw David. She hurried and dismounted from her donkey and fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. And she fell on her feet, on his feet, and said, "On me alone, my lord, be the blame. And please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. Please do not let my lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But your maidservant did not see the young man of my lord whom you sent. Go to verse 36. Then Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal heard, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she did not tell him anything at all until the morning light. But it came about in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, that his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, so that he became as a stone. And about 10 days later, it happened that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept back his servant from evil. The Lord has also returned the evil doing of Nabal on his own head." Then David sent a proposal to Abigail to take her as his wife. Then the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel. They spoke to her, saying, "David has sent us to you to take you as his wife." And she arose and bowed with her face to the ground and said, "Behold, your maidservant is a maid to wash the feet of my lord's servants." Then Abigail quickly arose and rode in a donkey with her 5 maidens who attended her, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David had also taken Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both became his wives. Now Saul had given Michal, his daughter David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was from Galim. Okay. Now, what we're talking about is David's wife Abigail. But you can't talk about David's wife Abigail without talking about some other wives of David. Right there, we see 3. And I don't want to damage our understanding and our love for King David, but David had 8 wives. He wouldn't fit in today's society, would he? And he sure wouldn't fit in our churches, would he? And probably he shouldn't. He was definitely not a one-woman kind of a man. But the principle that we're going to see, and I'm going to bring it in just a second, is David had 8 wives. 7 of them were fruitful. Now, I'm going to give you these names, and I'll give you these scriptures if you want to jot this down and look it up for yourself. If you look in 2 Samuel 3:3, and 1 Chronicles 3:1 through 9, and 1 Chronicles 14:3 through 7, you'll find out the names of these 8 wives. Michal was his first wife. That was the daughter of Saul. Ahinoam was his second wife. Abigail, his third wife. Maacah was his 4th wife. Haggith was his 5th wife. Abithal was his 6th wife. Eglah was his 7th wife. And then, of course, Bathsheba, his 8th wife. Now, out of 7 of those 8 wives, he had 19 sons. 19 sons, and then the Bible refers to one daughter, Tamar. So we know that David had at least 20 children. He was a very fruitful person, wasn't he, Ted? He was very fruitful. But the principle that I want us to see is that these 7 that are fruitful become types of the church. Now, of course, Michal never bore David any children. She never had a child because she mocked David as he danced and praised God. And there's a tremendous lesson there. Never mock people that dance and praise God. God made her unfruitful. But there were 7 of these, and 7, of course, is the number of fruitful. 7 is the number of perfection. 7 were fruitful, and this speaks of the church. It speaks of the church being fruitful and 7 being perfect or mature. So what I'm wanting us to see is that if we look at this, not as a flaw in David's life, which I believe that it was, by the way. I believe this was the man's weakness. No, I mean, But if we'll look at this as the, every one of these being a type of the church, but yet not one person being the type of the church, but yet in these seven fruitful women, we see the church, and we'll see that, that the church is not a woman, but it is a plural people. Are you with me? The church is a plural people, and we can see the principle then that, that in this, in these seven women, we can find then the principle of the church. The perfection and the fullness that's in his church. The principle is the church is likened to a woman, a bride, yet she is plural. Jesus will have only one bride, but she will be many facets. She'll be complete, she'll be perfect, and she'll be fruitful. All right? Be many brought forth from his church. And that's the principle that I just want to get there as we hit those verses and you must deal with these things. The man had eight wives. And as we progress through here, I really believe that David had a weakness for women. And I'm not going to justify that. Okay, I'm not going to justify that. I'm not trying to justify that. But I'm trying to bring it into a truth that we can grasp and hold. Now the second thing that I want to talk about as David listened to Abigail's counsel, and of course this is the main thrust that I want to bring of the heart of David today, the heart of David listened to Abigail's counsel. David asked Nabal for some provisions. Now, David could have taken them, that's made pretty clear. He could have taken them. Nabal's men were in the wilderness with the sheep and the goats, and David could have taken them, but he didn't. He protected Nabal. But Nabal replied arrogantly. He said, "Who is David?" He called him a rebellious punk. And David got mad and angry. And David was ready to go and lop off Nabal's head, wasn't he? He had his sword on, had his men with his sword on. David was angry. He was vengeful. He had 400 others all rallied up and stirred up and ready to go and wipe out Nabal's house. And here comes Abigail. And this one little lady keeps David from committing a folly that he really didn't need to do. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this has happened often to me. I've been mad. I've been vengeful. I would be ready to attack. And my little Abigail, my little Judy, would say, "Why? Why?" And one little word can change all this madness and all this vengefulness that's inside of me. That one little woman can give me more direction than anybody else in the world. And this is the principle that I want to bring, because Abigail's the church. And I really believe that if it was not for the church on the earth today, that the Lord would want to come and lop off Nabal's head. I believe the only thing that's keeping this thing together is the church. And as we pray and as we seek God and we ask Him to bring righteousness in our land, as we learn about imprecatory prayer, and as we learn how to properly pray and properly seek God, as we learn how to properly move in the Spirit, we're going to get more and more and more like Abigail, and we're going to have more and more and more influence on the Lord. But again, I want to project it as not one person, but as a multifaceted person. The third thing, I want to bring this into present truth, and I want to bring this as a picture of the end times. This is an apocalyptic picture. This is a panorama of the end time. Abigail is a picture of the redeemed church. Now, most of you, and I think it was so exciting to me this week as I began to meditate about this, most of you have come out of the system. Most of you have come out, and you know what I'm talking about when I say the system. Most of you have come out of some religious order, religious group, religious system. That's Nabal. That's Saul. That's the system of man. And you were redeemed. Something happened. Something happened in your life where God redeemed you out of that system and brought you to Himself. Well, the Lord redeemed you. As Abigail was in Nabal's system, Abigail was Nabal's wife, things began to happen, and Nabal suddenly got a revelation that he was a worthless man, even as his name indicated, and she was redeemed to David. David being a type of Jesus Christ. So you and I have come basically from a Nabal system. We have come out of this, and we're going to see that this is a picture and a panorama of the end time. But the thing that excited me this week, the thing that began to stir in me, is that probably if you're 20 years old or older, you have probably been in the systems of man. You have been in a religious system where truth was taught to a point. And then after that point, you couldn't go any further. You couldn't grow anymore. But if you're 20 years older or younger in this fellowship, there's a possibility that you've never been associated with the system of Nabal. And the thing that really is exciting me is I see these children that Pastor Tebow had up here a while ago. Most of them have never had to go through the religious systems that you and I went through. What I'm preaching and teaching to you right now is one day going to be obsolete. Amen? There's going to be a people that's not going to have been, defamed or messed up with a religious system. They're going to come forth. They're going to be free in their spirit, free in their worship. They're not going to be hindered with Nabal's system. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I think that's such a wonderful thing that we are already seeing the fruits of what we're about. We're already starting to see a people that is going to be able, without religious bondages, to take this word of God and truly apply it without somebody trying to tell them what they can't do in it. And we're already starting to see it, and that was exciting to me. This is going to be an obsolete message in 10 years or so here. 20 years. Because we're going to have a generation that's coming forth that's not going to ever have been associated with Nabal. So this is the way I want to bring this, and this is the way I want to talk about it. And I want to talk about Abigail. Abigail in verse 3 that we read, she's number one, she's intelligent. She's intelligent. Now, I'm not talking worldly intelligent. I'm talking spiritual intelligent. There's a difference of worldly wisdom and the wisdom that is from above. She is spiritually intelligent. Abigail knew who the anointed of the Lord was. She knew it was David who would be on the throne. She knew that it was going to be David who would be ruling and reigning. Then it said in verse 33 that she had discernment. King James says advice. She's got discernment. The first thing that the church has to be is spiritually smart. Right? We have to have discernment. We have to be sharp in the things of the Spirit. Worldly wisdom won't make it in the church. That's what's been tried to happen in Nabal's system. In the system of man, there's been trying to come in the ways of the world to do it. The ways of the world to do it. And we're all guilty of this to one degree or the other. But that's not the way God wants it. He wants it done according to His Spirit. These are the sons of God, they that are led by the Spirit of God. Not by the worldly ways, but by the heavenly ways, by the spiritual ways. So the first thing that we see about Abigail is she's intelligent, she's spiritually enlightened. And the second thing is she's discerning. The church will reveal the manifold wisdom of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that that's why the church is here, to reveal the manifold wisdom of God, the principalities and powers? She'll do that. And this is what Abigail is about. Verse 3 also said that she was beautiful. She's beautiful to David. People, we are beautiful to the Lord. You are beautiful to the Lord. And He sees you growing, and He sees me growing. He sees us growing in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. He sees us being changed from glory to glory. We're beautiful. Al, you're beautiful. Amen? We are a beautiful people to the Lord. The Lord's Abigail is beautiful. I want to be an Abigail, don't you? I want to be an Abigail church. I want to be a church that is appealing to Him. A church that is sharp and smart in spiritual things. A church that has discernment. And a church that is attractive to the Lord. Of course, Ephesians 5 talks about that there will be of the church that He'll present unto Himself. A church without spot or wrinkle. A church without blemish. Holy and blameless. That's Abigail. She's beautiful. She's beautiful. Now, but Abigail was married to Nabal. Now, Nabal, His name alone means stupid. It means wicked, and it's translated fool and vile person. Now, Abigail was married to Nabal. The things that it tells us about Nabal in verse 2 is that he was rich. He had a lot of sheep and goats, but he was harsh and evil in his dealings. Now, this is very related to Babylon. Babylon's primary purpose is to be rich. I don't have to spell out Babylon, do I? I'm talking about religious systems. I'm talking about man's systems. I'm talking about the systems of the earth that are more interested in money than people. I'm talking about in Revelation 17, where it talks about Babylon. And it says that Babylon is adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. I'm talking about Babylon. I'm talking about Babylon that's more interested in having numbers and multitudes than disciples. Is that what Babylon's interested in? Money and people? A lot of money and a lot of people? See, Lord, how would you like to have been following the Lord? And all of a sudden, he turns around and he looks at you and he says, unless you eat my body and you drink my blood, I don't have any part of you. Now, well, I understand what that means. Well, you wouldn't have then, and you wouldn't now, unless the Spirit of God hadn't revealed it to you. You'd have been just like them, probably, and I would have too, and we would have turned around and walked off. You see, what I want us to see is that God is interested in multitudes, and he's not interested in money. Now, it takes money to do what he's called us to do, and that's what the tithe and all that comes in. But the emphasis is not on money, and the emphasis is not on numbers. What his emphasis is on an Abigail type of a people. A people that he can present unto himself, intelligent and beautiful. He wants disciples, not multitudes. Babylon's after the multitudes. Now, the thing that we've got to understand that in Revelation 18, we find that some of God's people are in Babylon. Now, I could go through my little witness, my little thing where the Lord began to open up the things of the kingdom of God. But it was Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4 that changed the way that I think. It got me so confused that I had to start thinking differently. All of a sudden, I had raptured us in the fourth chapter of Revelation. I had raptured us in the 14th chapter of Revelation. And I got to the 18th chapter and I find out that God's people are still here. I find out where they're really at. It's in Babylon. Revelation chapter 18 verse 4 says, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. You see, there was a time when all of us were married to Nabal. There was a time when we were in that system of people. But God loves us so much that he took us out. And he's making him an Abigail people. He brought us forth. And we're beautiful to him. Church, I want you to know you're a beautiful people. You are a beautiful people to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're coming out. You're leaving Nabal. You're letting him mold you into what he wants. That's Abigail. Also, it talks about Nabal. He was harsh and evil in his dealings. Religious people and the system of man is the most mean people. Have you ever had a financial dealing with a Christian? Don't deal financially with a Christian. They're wicked in their dealings, especially if they're in Nabal. The religious people, they are the harshest and most vengeful people there are. Never make a Christian mad. So this is Nabal. Now, I want to tell you something. I just jotted this down in my notes, that pastors are the second and the worst record for paying their bills in all occupations. What about that? Christians, religious people, are Nabals. And they're vile in the way they do things. When you're married to that, that's what you're associated with. The third thing I want to talk about here. The first thing we talked about was Abigail. She's a type of the church that is coming out. leaving Nabal, then there's Nabal, who was a type of the devil or a type of religious system or a type of Babylon. And then the third thing that we'll look at is David's servants. David's servants, he said, I want you to go in my name. What did Jesus say to you and me? Go in his name. He says, in my name you'll cast out devils. In my name you'll speak in new tongues. In my name you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You'll do all these things in my name. David here is sending forth his men in his name. So these servants that David is sending forth are a type of his ministry that's sent out to do something for him. And Nabal didn't recognize him. Babylon does not recognize an ordered ministry. The fourth thing that we'll look at is David is a type of a Christ. He says, go in my name. And then in verse 28, it says that no evil shall be found in you, speaking of David all your days. So we find out that David then becomes a type of Christ. And what I'm wanting to bring to you is a present truth look at this passage of Scripture and show you the end time church, the end time Abigail. Now, David had protected Nabal, and now sent his men looking for fruit. He wants him to go. He's protected Nabal. He's protected the sheep. He's protected his flocks. And he says, now I want you to go to Nabal, and I want some fruit. Jesus is going to one day make some claims and some demands on the church system, and he's going to want some fruit. He says, you didn't choose me. I chose you, and I chose you that you would bear fruit, and that fruit would remain, okay? He's going to demand some fruit one day. He's protecting it all right now. But there's a day coming when he's going to demand fruit. And they better be able to recognize him. They didn't recognize David's servants. They didn't recognize the sent ones from David. The second thing is Nabal is arrogant. He doesn't recognize the anointed. He says, who is David? Who is the son? Whose origin, speaking of David, I do not know. They can't recognize sent ministry. Now, Babylon despises the anointed. What's Babylon drunk on? The blood of the witnesses. Babylon despises the saints. Babylon despises the ministry. It wants its sheep and goats. Don't care if it's a sheep or a goat, just wants them. And Babylon's after it, and he's drunk on the blood of the witnesses. And then it says he kills the prophets. Kills ministry. That's Nabal. Abigail comes forth in verse 18. Now here's what I really want to bring. This is what Abigail brings. Abigail brings fruitfulness. Jesus is going to come to this church and he's going to want some fruit. He's going to come to every church and he's going to want some fruit. This is what Abigail brings. First thing she brings is 200 cakes of bread. What is bread? What? Staff and life, yeah. It's the Word of God, right? The Word of God. The bread is number one and fourth. The Word of God. There's 200 loaves. There's an abundant word in Abigail. There's an abundant word. There's an abundant something to eat in Abigail. All right? And then also the word is a revelation of the body of Christ. What did we just have a while ago? We had the bread. The bread is a type of his body. Take, eat. This is my body. So it has a revelation. Abigail has an abundant word and has an abundant revelation of the Word of God in her life, and also abundant revelation of the body of Christ. The second thing was two jugs of wine. Now these weren't little bitty jugs like you and I see in the store. These were 20-gallon jugs. She had 40 gallons of wine. She's going to come with 40 gallons of wine. What is joy in the Scriptures? I mean, what is wine in the Scriptures? Joy. What else is it? Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, but be you filled with the Spirit. Abigail's got a lot of joy. Huh? Laugh at me. Show me you're joyful. Show me you're Abigail's. We should be the happiest people. We ought to be drunk with the wine of God all the time. Amen. We ought to be filled with the Spirit like they were on Pentecost. Joy and the Spirit of God. That's Abigail. All right. And another thing wine is, what did we just have a while ago? The juice, which is a type of his blood. It's a revelation of the blood. It's an understanding. The blood washes you from your sin. Continually One sin. And it's continuously washing you from your sin, making you spotless and pure. It's a revelation. 40 gallons of wine. Brought 5 sheep already prepared. Already prepared. 5, the number of ministry, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Already skinned. Already cut up. Already put on the altar. Already become Romans 12:1. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your spiritual worship. King James says reasonable service. What is your spiritual worship? To present your body as a living sacrifice. 5, already prepared. Already prepared. 5 measures of roasted grain. 5, again, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The fivefold ministry that will mature the people. Joshua 5:11. They had crossed over the Jordan. And then they were circumcised. And then they changed their diet. They stopped gumming manna. Started eating parched corn. Anybody can gum manna, folk. But it takes some teeth, some maturity to crunch on corn. Parched corn. She brought 5 measures of roasted grain. A fivefold ministry with a revelation of changing and maturity, coming into a new diet. I want my diet to change, don't you? I don't want a gum manna. I want to eat something that has some substance to it. Something that will cause me to grow, mature. Could bring that to Hebrews 5, where he says, when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one come teach you again the basic oracles of the Word of God. He says, when you're drinking milk, you ought to be eating meat. Abigail Church is a maturing church. An Abigail Church is a church that's off the manna and a church that's crunching on roasted grain. Amen? 5. 5th thing she brought was 100 clusters of raisins. Is Abigail fruitful? She's fruitful. 100-fold fruitful. 100 clusters. Jesus taught in chapter 13 of Matthew, he's giving the parable of the seed and the sower. He says, I pray that it become 30, 60, and 100-fold. So I want it to produce something in your life. 100-fold. I want to be 100-folder. Don't you, Mike? I want to understand 100-fold production. I want to be a 100-folder. Abigail brought 100 clusters of raisins, and then she brought 200 cakes of figs. Figs is prosperity. Figs is prosperity. It's all right to be prosperous in the kingdom of God. Amen? You don't have to be poor to be a Christian. In fact, I like rich Christians to come to our church. Pastor Tebow likes it a whole lot more than I do. But we think that you should prosper. He says you should be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of life, the rivers of living water, and everything that your hand is put to do, it shall prosper. Now, there's also not just financially prosperity and natural prosperity. We need to be prospering in the Spirit. You need to be growing in the Spirit. You need to be prospering in the gifts and prospering in the things of God. You should be a prosperous, fruitful Abigail. Spiritually blessed, naturally blessed people. That's the Abigail company. Then in verse 20, Abigail finds David in the mountain. And if you read that, it's the hidden part of the mountain. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount went up into a mountain and sat and began to teach his disciples. Amen? Book of Revelation, 21st chapter. John said, the angel came and said, would you like to see the Lamb's bride? He said, yeah, I would. He said, so he took him into a great and exceeding high mountain. You know where you're going to meet him at? You know where you're really going to see the Lord at? In the mountain. And Daniel chapter 2 says that the mountain is the kingdom. And it grows and it grows and it grows until it fills the whole earth. You need to get into the mountain, folk, and find you a hidden place in that mountain so that you can meet him. Amen? What did the five wise virgins do? They went out to meet the Lord. What did Paul do in the book of Acts when he went to Rome? He met the saints. The saints went out to meet him. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about him being caught away and he meeting the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about meeting the Lord in the air. There is a place that we need to get to. It's a hidden place in the mountain. It's in the kingdom. And it's a hidden place that will meet him. We'll meet him. Abigail met him in the mountain. Then says she fell before him and worshiped. Pastor Tebow was talking about it earlier. There is going to be a people, folk, that love to fall on their face and worship him. We're coming. We're coming. I know where he's coming from. He wants to see it happen. He wants us to be a people that have understood the truth that John chapter 4 tells us about. For the Father seeketh such to worship him, they that worship him in spirit and in truth. A people that are understanding the things of worshiping God and falling down and just submitting themselves totally to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When we become a Christian, we have this idea, this mentality that we get to accept Jesus. We've learned here that we don't accept him. He's chosen us. You're called, right? And then these things start happening. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10, he says, if you believe in your heart, okay, where does salvation first start happening at? In your heart. If you believe in your heart and then confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, that Jesus is Lord, okay, you shall be saved. See, it's when he becomes Lord. 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 It's when there's a people that fall at his feet and say, you're Lord. You're just Lord. Now, there's areas of my life, Lord, that haven't fallen yet. But every knee shall bow. And every tongue's going to confess that he is Lord. Abigail, knees bend. Abigail's lips confess. He's Lord. He's Lord. Verse 25, there's a revelation to Abigail that Nabal is worthless. Man's system is worthless. I said man's system is worthless. I don't care if it's humanism. I don't care if it's religion. It's worthless. It's foolish. It's Nabal. And God's going to strike it and smote it, and it's going to die. All of a sudden, there'll come to you a revelation. This Abigail people, the system's worthless. Nothing out there is of any importance except seeking first the kingdom of God. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Seek you first the kingdom of God. Revelation starts happening. In verse 26 through 31, there's her confession of faith. She repents. She says, it's my fault. Daniel prayed, and he says, we have sinned. Not they have sinned. We have sinned. Abigail understands that the reason that the world is in the shape that it's in is because we haven't done what we are supposed to do. The whole thing is left up to the church. How will the wisdom of God be revealed? Through his church. Abigail understands that. We have sinned. She says, it's all my fault. Repentance, and there's a revelation of the enduring house of God. How long is this thing going to last? This thing is going to last until the last day. When is the resurrection? The last day. Is there any days after the last day? No. The church will be here until the last day. There won't be 7 years. There won't be 3.5 years. There won't be 5 minutes. The church will be here, folks, until the last day. There's a revelation that this house is enduring until the end of this age. We read Psalms, or was the Psalms we looked at, 19. And it was talking about how the sun, S-U-N, comes up and goes through his circuit and then goes through a circuit of the heavens. That's exactly what's happening right now with us. Can you stop a strong man? I used Turk as an example. He wasn't even here, but I used him as an example. How would you like to jump? Turk's out running, of course. Would you want to jump out in front of Turk and try to stop him? Huh? I wouldn't. You go ahead and run, Turk. You see, that, but he's typing as this. How many tried to stop the sun from rising? Foolish, right? You can't do it. It's going to come up. It's going to run its course. How many is going to stop the thing? How many think that this thing that God started with his church is going to stop? So it's just as sure. The S-U-N, the S-O-N, doesn't matter. It's going to run his circuit. Did he arise? And he won't sit until the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He's going to run his circuit. There's a revelation. There's a revelation that this is an enduring house. There's a revelation of warfare. There's a revelation of purity. There's a revelation of God's judgment. There's a revelation of the kingdom of God. All that's there in verses 26 through 31. I can't touch it. Then she says, as she ministers to David in verses 32 through 35, David's wrath is turned. And the only thing that I really believe that holds this thing all together is the church praying for people. We're praying for people that are in Nabal's house. And this whole passage talks about that David wants to come and wipe out the whole bunch of them. And Abigail says, no. You know, there's don't touch that household. There's some good people in that household. There's some good people in Babylon. Or he wouldn't have said, come out of her. My people, come out of her. David's wrath is turned. Abigail goes back to Nabal. It's always funny. When you start seeing the kingdom, you want to stay in Nabal. There's your security. Talked with Dr. Ted this just this week about some people that don't understand why they keep going back to Nabal. She went back to Nabal, but she went back to tell him about David. She went back, and this is what happened. First thing, she told him, she had to wait until the light come up. She had to wait till morning light. She had to wait till there was a revelation of it. First thing that happened is his heart was turned to stone. Hard heart. Have you ever talked to somebody about the things of the kingdom of God and their heart just got hard? Uncircumcised heart. Hard heart. That's Nabal. Second thing, he died in 10 days. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the church of Smyrna, God judged it. He said, if you don't straighten up, you're going to be in judgment in 10 days. 10 days, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. Now, I don't know how that fits in your theology. If you don't see the Lord in charge of everything, it won't fit. You'll have to say, well, that's the Old Testament. No, that's the Bible. He says in Revelation, I still have the keys of death and hell. How God smote Nabal, and he died. And as you read that on down through it, you find out that David rejoiced about it. I won't touch that. But the Lord's going to destroy Babylon, isn't he? He's going to smite it in a day. In a day it falls. David marries Abigail. He sent his servants. He sent his ministry for Abigail. He says, the Lord's looking for a beautiful bride, looking for an intelligent woman. So the Lord sends his ministry. That's exactly what's happening now. Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers coming forth with a word of maturity, coming forth with a word of what God's looking for, of purity, looking for a people that want to be an Abigail, want to leave Nabal, leave that system of death, and come forth and be God's people. Now, she comes, her and her five maidens. And this is such a beautiful thing of Matthew chapter 25, verse 6 through 5, where it talks about the 10 virgins, five wise and five foolish. Servant sounds, the Lord cometh, go ye out to meet him. The five foolish didn't have 200 cakes of bread. The five foolish didn't have two jugs of wine. The five foolish didn't have 100 clusters of raisins. Are you hearing this? The five foolish had nothing to go out and meet the Lord with. Well, wait, let me go get it. But while they're trying to get it, the five wise go with Abigail to meet the Lord and go into the bride chamber. Beautiful type of the end of the age. All this is a beautiful picture of the end. This is the Abigail church. It left Nabal and it came to David. It's Abigail who turned David's heart, and it's the church that turns the heart of Jesus. I want you to know, folks, you're a beautiful people. You've left Nabal. You know there's beautiful people in his house. You know there's wonderful people there. But you've left it. You've come to David. You've come to our heavenly David, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that's what I saw here. But in closing, David's heart. Husbands, when you're angry, when you're vengeful, when you're hurt, mad, listen to your wife. She's perfect for you. You don't need seven to have the perfect one. She's the one that's perfect for you. Amen. 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 Let's stand.